All right, let's jump right in. Today, we're going deep on business process analysis and how it all connects with IT projects.
Okay.
You might think you need to map out your to-be processes perfectly before even talking to the tech team. But this blog post by Gerhard Friedrich is going to make you think twice about that.
Yeah, it's funny, because so many companies get stuck in that trap. They think they need this picture-perfect process map before they even think about software.
Right.
Friedrich actually points to big names like, PMI.
Project Management Institute.
Exactly.
Right.
And even the BPM CBOK, the Business Process Management Common Body of Knowledge, they sort of perpetuate this idea that you got to have it all figured out up front.
And before we get into why that can be a problem, I'm just curious from your experience, why are companies so hesitant to loop IT in early on?
I think it really boils down to control.
Yeah.
Businesses, they want to feel like they're the ones calling the shots, dictating how things are going to work, which makes sense,
On
right?
the surface, yeah.
But just imagine, you spend months crafting this perfect process, and then IT comes in and they're like, well, actually, the system can't do that.
Right.
It's a waste of time, and it can actually kill innovation.
It's like planning a gourmet meal without checking what ingredients you have, right?
Yeah.
You could end up with a recipe for disaster.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that. And Friedrich, he even takes it a step further.
Okay.
He says, instead of being afraid of IT's influence, we should look at how all this amazing software that's out there can actually shape our processes, make them better. He actually quotes an RFP, a request for proposal, where the client said they were, and I'm quoting here, explicitly willing to adapt processes if it leads to better process quality and reduces the effort required to adapt the standard software.
So it's not IT needs to fit our process. It's how can existing software help us improve?
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean we just go in blind. Friedrich gives us some homework.
He does. He does. He says before you even think about redesigning anything, you got to have a good understanding of your markets, your products, your current processes at a high level, your data, all the business rules, who your stakeholders are, locations, your IT landscape, legal and compliance stuff.
Wow, that's a lot.
It's a lot, but he's not saying you need to create these massive, intricate flowcharts for each of these, just a clear picture of where things stand.
Okay, so it's like understand the lay of the land before you start building.
Exactly.
And I like how he mentions SWOT analysis for each of these areas. Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats. That's a classic.
Yeah.
But then he brings up external benchmarking. That was really interesting to me.
Oh, absolutely. It's about looking outside of your own little bubble. Friedrich argues that if you're only looking at your own processes, you're missing out on so much potential for innovation. Other companies, even in different industries, they might be doing things way more efficiently, way more creatively. They've already solved problems that you might be struggling with.
It's like reinventing the wheel when someone down the street has a perfectly good spare.
Right. Exactly.
So we've talked about, the dangers of too much upfront analysis and this shift towards using software that already exists. But Friedrich takes it a step further, right? He talks about IT being a partner throughout the whole process.
Yeah, he's really big on that. He emphasizes this ongoing dialogue between business and IT. And he brings in his colleague, Wolfgang Keller. He's an expert in IT architecture.
Okay.
And Keller argues that IT shouldn't just be, taking orders and building stuff off in a corner.
Right.
They have this unique understanding of what technology can do, and they can offer insights into how to optimize processes in ways that business people might not even think of.
It's like having an in-house consultant who speaks both business and tech.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
And to actually, give this collaboration some structure, Friedrich brings up the spiral model.
Now, this is where it gets really interesting. The spiral model, it's based on Barry Bohm's work. It's all about iteration and flexibility.
So instead of trying to lock down every single detail of the process and the technology right from the start.
You go through these cycles, these spirals, where you're constantly refining your goals, your processes, what software you're going to use, even your infrastructure and budget. You're learning and adapting with each cycle, which is so important in today's world.
So it's like building a prototype, testing it out before you commit to the full-scale production. You can course correct along the way.
Exactly. And because you're involving IT in each of these spirals, they can bring their expertise to the table and make sure the technology supports those evolving business needs.
I like it. It's a much more dynamic approach.
It is. It is. And I think it reflects how businesses actually work today. You can't just
Good.
plan everything in a vacuum anymore. You got to be able to adapt and respond to change as it happens.
Makes sense to me. So I think this is a good place to pause for now. We've laid out the groundwork, talked about the challenges, and introduced this idea of the spiral model. In the next part, we'll dig deeper into how the spiral model actually works in practice and explore some of the implications for business and IT collaboration. So stick around, there's much more to come.
And that's what's so cool about the spiral model. You don't need to have all the answers right away. You know, you can embrace the unknown and figure things out together as you go.
Yeah, I love that. Like, you don't need to have it all perfectly planned out before you even start.
Right.
But even with Agile, which is all about flexibility, Friedrich warns against falling into that trap of overplanning.
It's easy to slip back into those old habits, even when you're trying to be Agile. He specifically talks about turning user stories into these huge, detailed requirements documents.
Which kind of defeats the whole point of Agile.
Yeah, exactly. User stories, they should be like promises for a conversation.
Oh, I like that.
It's a quote from Bill Wick and Ron Jeffries. It's about keeping that conversation going between business and IT so you can figure out the details together, you know, organically through collaboration.
So instead of treating user stories like these rigid blueprints, they should be starting points.
Exactly.
For a conversation about what the user really needs and how tech can help.
You got it. It's about creating an environment where both business and IT feel like they can contribute their expertise and work together to build solutions that really work for the users.
And that brings up a really important point that Friedrich makes. And, you know, with all this talk about processes and technology, we can't lose sight of the bigger picture.
He's right. We can't get so caught up in the how that we forget the why. At the end of the day, it's all about making the business better, right? Whether it's improving efficiency, making customers happier, or even creating something completely new and valuable.
It's like getting so focused on polishing the silverware that you forget to cook the meal.
Huh, exactly. The tools and the methodologies, they're important, but they're there to help us achieve our goals, not to dictate them.
So let's bring it back to our listener for a second. They're here listening to us, learning about all these challenges and new ways of thinking. What's the one big takeaway you want them to leave with?
I want them to question their assumptions about how IT projects should work. Don't be afraid to bring IT in early, to ask questions, to try a more collaborative, iterative approach. And most importantly, always keep the big picture in mind. How can technology really transform your business and create real value?
And I love how Friedrich uses examples from our everyday lives to illustrate this point. You know, think about all the apps you use. They've just become a part of your life, right? They've changed how you do things without you even thinking about it. You probably don't even remember what it was like before.
It's true. And those innovations, they didn't happen because someone meticulously planned out their every move before involving technology. They came from experimentation, from a willingness to try new things, and from a focus on solving real problems in a way that puts the user first.
So to really hammer that point home, let's leave our listener with a little challenge. Think about your own life, the apps, the services you use. Where has technology really changed how you do things? And could those examples give you some inspiration for how you approach process innovation at work?
That's a great way to get people thinking outside the box. Sometimes the best ideas come from looking beyond our usual frame of reference.
Absolutely. It's about staying curious, challenging the status quo, and remembering that there's always a better way out there just waiting to be discovered.
And who knows? Maybe you'll be the one to find it.
You know, it's wild to think about how much we just expect technology to be there.
I know.
Like, it's just part of life, and we don't even really think about how it's changing the way we think, how we act. But that's what makes Friedrich's ideas so important. He's telling us to be more deliberate about how we use tech to really make a difference.
To create something that matters. It's not just about chasing the newest, shiniest gadget. It's about thinking, okay, how can this help us solve real problems, make our processes better, improve our lives, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we try to do here on the Deep Dive, right? Give our listeners the tools and information to explore these big ideas and walk away with, like, a new way of looking at things. Hopefully you're feeling ready to shake things up a bit, push the limits in your own work, in your own life.
I hope so. If you take away just one thing from our deep dive today, I hope it's to never be afraid to question what you think you know, to work together and never stop looking for new possibilities.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
A huge thanks to Gerhard Friedrich for that really thought-provoking blog post. We'll make sure to link to it in the show notes so everyone can check it out. And of course, big thanks to you for joining me on this. Always enjoy these conversations.
Me too. It's great to chat with someone who's as excited about learning and innovation as I am.
And to our listeners, keep those minds working, keep those ideas coming. Until next time, happy exploring.